Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10 in your Bibles. And if you have a King James Bible, let's all stand and read together in unison. Galatians chapter 6, from verse 7 to verse 10. Bud, you don't have to stand. You sit down, please. Sit down. From verses 7 to 10, let's read together in unison, shall we? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right, let's pray. Shall we? Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for these truths that we just read, a whole bunch of truths that we're not going to be able to cover all of them this morning, obviously. But there's enough here that we can preach about that I believe that you've laid on my heart. And this outline that I have, I pray, Lord, that you would bless it and use it. I pray, dear God, that men, women, boys and girls, teenagers alike would pay attention and listen, Lord, to spare their lives from the heartaches that some of us older folks have had to go through. So, dear Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I have broken this up into 12 points. Can you believe I have points in my outline this morning? Amen. It's a natural thing for this these verses here, these four verses here. And I have these 12 points here. I'm going to give you the 12 points first before I get into the sermon. Point number one is be not deceived. Point number two, God is not mocked. Point number three is whatsoever. Point number four is you reap what you sow. Number five, flesh brings forth corruption. Six, spirit brings forth life everlasting. Seven, it's either flesh or spirit. Nothing in between. Number eight, do not be weary in well-doing. Number nine, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number 10, God provides the opportunity. Number 11, do good unto all men. And number 12, especially unto the believers. Number one, be not deceived. God clearly tells us over and over in scriptures not to be deceived. We are deceived because we fail to heed warnings from Jesus not to be deceived. This world of sin is an easy trap for those who do not know, those who do not care, and those who have been deceived. A person deceived because they choose not to pay attention to everything God says in the Word of God. When a person deliberately chooses to ignore the warning signs, then they head straight for disaster. That's number one, be not deceived. Number two, God is not mocked. To mock means to mimic or to imitate in contempt or derision, to deride, to laugh at, or to ridicule. People today laugh and scoff at God. They scoff and laugh at God's word, the house of God, and God's man. They mock and hate the preaching of the word of God. While you think people may be getting away with things that are morally wrong or sinful or wicked, God is a very loving and a very patient God who is waiting for man to repent and get right with God so that man would not go to hell to pay for his sins. God says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 31, that he will even laugh at your calamity when it comes as a result of you forsaking God. The Bible is full of scorners, and what it says about those who scorn godly authority and scorn godly teaching and scorn godly preaching and scorn godly living. Point number three, whosoever or whatsoever. Whatsoever means anything and everything. The smallest thing to the biggest thing. The good and the bad. Disobeying your godly parents leads to more rebellion later on in life. Disobeying, rebelling against your husband causes your children to disobey and rebel against God later on. The things that you think may be just little things now will be magnified a manifold times when the wheels of time continually crank out magnified copies of your stubbornness, your rebellion, and your disobedience. You may not have thought that the little outbursts or times of contempt or arguments or talking back mattered much, but you will see them in the life of your children. The Bible says in Ezekiel, as is the mother, so is her daughter. The Bible says King David never one time said no to his children, and you find out how his children ended up, right? One raped one son, the other son raped the other daughter, the other son ran his own father off the throne. You know why? Because David, a good man, not one time told his children no. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap exactly what you sowed. Number four, an apple seed produces an apple tree. This is deep theological stuff here. An orange seed produces an orange tree. A lemon seed produces a lemon tree. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number five, flesh. The Bible calls it corruptible and vile. Whatever you do for the flesh is going to come back to haunt you. It's going to have eternal consequences. Lost souls, a stumbling block, a hindrance, selfish, hating others, being uncaring, unsympathetic, jealous, envious, lazy, taking drugs, tobacco, alcohol, using God's name in vain, cussing, swearing, foul language, cheating, lying, stealing, being apathetic, vengeful, despondent, depressed, anxious, unclean, unkept, disobedient, rebellious, stubborn, lawless, wild, uncontrollable, loose, no boundaries, gossiping, needling others, mocking, being a busybody, sticking your nose in other people's matters, lying, being a liar, no church, no Bible, no prayer life, not witnessing to others, no planning, no goals for your life, being a glutton, being short with people, being grumpy, complaining, overweight, overly critical, overly judgmental, overbearing, being mean and cold-hearted, self-willed, mean-spirited, not compassionate, inhospitable, boasting and exaggerating, and the list goes on and on. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The same thing. Point number six, the Spirit. Whatever you do for God will last for all eternity. Prayer, Bible reading, church, soul winning, standards, being clean, neat, orderly, sacrificing your life for God and others, loving others, being kind, being full of kindness, being understanding, forgiving, merciful, patient, sympathetic, empathizing with others, being considerate, being a giving person, being humble, being clothed with humility, being meek and quiet, being good and honest, working hard, being thrifty and saving money, investing wisely, giving advice and counsel to others, good advice and godly advice and counsel to others, encouraging others, being a helper to others, being faithful, obedient, yielding yourself to God, being compassionate, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, preaching, being wise, being discerning, warning others, comforting others, having goals and planning ahead in your life, eating and drinking right, being healthy, having a cheerful countenance, having a good attitude, smiling, being a warm person, being hospitable, and the list goes on and on and on. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number seven, it's either flesh or spirit. It's one or the other. There is no differentiation given in this passage. You're either yielding to the flesh or you're yielding to the Spirit of God. You're either going to reap, you're either reaping to your flesh or reaping to the Spirit. Not both, or it can be both at different times, but whatever you sow is exactly what you're going to reap one day. Number eight, be not weary in well-doing. When you feel like quitting or giving up or walking away, The enemy is trying to make you lose your rewards and the benefits of the time you spent loving and serving Jesus Christ. Most people, better get a hold of this, are unappreciative and are ungrateful. Most people don't care how good you try to be or how much you try to help them. That's the nature of man away from God, I'm just telling you right now. You better get used to it, ladies and gentlemen. And if your feelings get hurt, your emotions get hurt, it's going to bother you, you better learn to get over it real quick. Number 9, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thousands of years ago, the Persian naval fleet came to the shores of Greece. And they landed, they didn't land, but they sent an embassage to the shores. The headquarters was Sparta, but the land area there is called Lycaonia. And they said, if we land, we're going to raise all the houses, destroy all the houses, burn everything, rape your women, and kill all the men if you don't surrender. The Spartans sent back one word answer on a piece of paper. They said, if. They never landed. The big verse, the big word in this verse here is if. You may be doing good right now. But the Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You can throw everything you work for out the window if you walk away from God. You can just flush it down the toilet at a moment's notice without even thinking rationally. You can ruin the rest of your life and all the rewards and the blessings and the help that you could have been to people because your emotions got the best of you. You were not thinking clearly. Somebody persuaded you. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Number 10, God provides the opportunity. God provides an opportunity every day for us to do good. We are just too busy and unwilling to notice all the opportunities God puts in our lives and in our paths every day to help someone, to encourage someone, to be a blessing to someone, to love others. We're so wrapped up with ourselves. We're so selfish. We are so self-centered. It's all about me, myself, and I. We never think about God. We never think about others. But God provides the opportunity. What is missing today is that God's people are not thinking anymore. You need to think. Think on how you can be a help and think how you can be a blessing to someone who needs some encouragement, who needs some help, who needs someone to love them, who needs some godly advice and counsel, who needs fellowship. Number 11, do good unto all men. Yeah, even your enemies. Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you, he said. That's what Jesus said. In other words, do good unto all men. Well, I'm going to get back at them. Well, that's what the world says. We ought to turn the other cheek. We ought to forgive 7 times 70 one day. Yeah, but if they use me, then let them use you. If you want to love God. The natural man wants to fight back, but Jesus said to turn the other cheek. If you love people, if you love God. I mean, Jesus did that for us, didn't he? Did Jesus do good for us when we were enemies of the cross? Did he die in our place, a sinless man, the sinless Son of God who died in my place, a sinful, wretched man that deserved hell? Well, if Jesus Christ died in our place, having done no wrong, no sin, God commands us to do the same thing for others. I don't care if they ridicule you, mock you, criticize you, trash you. Your job is to love them, amen, if you have the love of God in you. He said, do good. There are many ways you can do good. This church helps more people than you think it does. We're not a large church, but I'm glad that our church has a heart for people and that we are able to help people when we can. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Just because you can't do everything does not mean that you can't do something. You ought to look for ways to help and be a blessing to others, not pine away and ask for others to be a help to you. You ought to be a giver, not a taker. Don't wait for someone else to help you. You look for ways to help somebody else, especially when no one is watching, because God's always watching. Number 12, especially the household of faith. You've heard the phrase, charity begins at home. It's not in the Bible, but I believe that. Charity begins at home. I believe we all take care of America before we take care of anybody else. call that selfish you want, but there's a biblical principle involved here. God says if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. That's what God says. You try helping everybody else, you try giving to everybody else, but God says if you don't provide for your own, you are worse than an infidel. Dads go all across the city and the state and the country, but they're never home with their children. Moms all out of the towns working, making money, helping everybody else, helping all these organizations, going to clubs and everything else, but never there for their children. We want to help other people, but not in the order that God says. God says especially the household of faith. That's why our children are so messed up. Parents are afraid to discipline and spank their own children. They're worse than infidels. You think about this. When a person dies without Jesus Christ, where will that person go? Exactly where Mother Teresa went, a place called hell. I don't care how religious she seems to be. Doesn't matter to me. If she's not born again, she's burning in hell right now. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what kind of good work she... I'm not saying she didn't do good work. I'm not saying that. She helped the lepers and she helped people. I'm not saying she didn't. But the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Not through your good works. Not through a church, not this church or any other church. But you think about this. Where are people going to go when they die? If we don't get people saved, then nothing else in life really matters. It all starts with salvation. If you do not have salvation, you have nothing. The person on their way to the lake of fire, as described in the book of Revelation, is going to burn forever and ever, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the church is the ground and pillar of the truth in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The church is. And when you go helping every other organization on planet Earth, and you forget the house of God, pay attention. You leave the house of God and you forsake the house of God and you don't give to the house of God, you are helping the enemy's crowd, you're helping the devil's enemies, and you're not caring about people getting saved and being saved from hell. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked. You think you're getting away with it, it's going to catch up with you one day. You can feed a man all you want, and if he dies without Jesus, he's going to burn in hell forever. You can clothe a man all you want, but if he dies without Jesus, he'll burn in hell forever. You can encourage a man all you want, but if he dies without Jesus, he'll burn in hell forever. You can give a man a job, a car, an apartment, a house, gold and silver, but if he dies without Jesus, he'll burn in hell forever, ladies and gentlemen. What good is that food? What good is that clothes? What good is the encouragement? What good is a car and a house and money if he's going to burn in hell? That's why the most important thing you should do is to make sure all your efforts are focused on the winning of lost people through the house of God. It is the church that is a pillar and ground of the truth, God says. And if this lighthouse here is still shining and the gospel light is shining into the dark world, then you better get involved in the work of God so that at least you will benefit as a result instead of watching your works all burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. There is no better organization or institution on earth than a house of God that preaches the Word of God, the King James Bible, and reaches souls for Jesus Christ. There's no more important group on earth than the church that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people and the church that preaches the old-time religion. At least you know that no thief can break through and steal your treasures that you will be laying up in heaven because of your good work through the church house. Remember, they can only build with what you send. You've heard that story before. God goes to heaven, he's saved, goes up, and his friend's got this big old mansion, just like it says in John chapter 4:14. He said, wow, that's a great man. Can't wait to see my house. And all of a sudden, he sees his house in heaven. It's a little dinky shack. I said, wait a second. How did so-and-so get such a big mansion, and I got this little shack? And the answer came, we can only build with what you send. What are you sending? What kind of treasures are you laying up in heaven? Are you saying, well, I'm just saved. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You're going to be embarrassed. Listen to me good. For the rest of all eternity. Because you're going to reap exactly what you sow. It's time to get busy, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to get busy. Because one day you're going to die. And one day Jesus is coming back soon. And we don't know which is going to be. It's interesting because Eliphaz told Job, when Job had done nothing wrong, Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Now, Job didn't do sin. He didn't. I mean, he was an upright man, just man. One is to shoot evil. And even his friends told him, Job, you're reaping exactly what you sowed. And Job didn't do anything wrong. Here's some thoughts. Number one, everyone sins. Everyone sins every day. That's pretty obvious, don't you think? Everybody sins every day. Number two, we're almost done. This is going to be a short sermon. Everyone is going to reap for every sin they sowed. Let me repeat that. Everyone is going to reap for every sin they sowed. Number three, you always reap at least 10 times more than what you sowed. If you've ever grown a vegetable garden or fruit trees, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I preached a sermon on this subject here about maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago. Remember, I pulled a corn? One kernel of corn produces 3 or 4 ears on a stalk. And each of those stalks, each of those ears of corn have hundreds of kernels on them. Hundreds. So one kernel, you get not just one stalk, but 3 or 4 ears on that stalk. You're talking about maybe 1,000 kernels of corn from one kernel of corn. You're going to reap at least 10 times of what you sowed. Number four. Like a crack in cement or concrete, with every passing winter, the crack becomes a canyon. It gets larger and larger and larger. Before, I think my son broke up the cement in front of our garage there. Somebody broke it up. It was a big old, somebody put concrete slab in front of the garage, you know, to drive your car or truck into the garage. And there was one small, when we moved in, it was 17 years ago, there's a small crack in there. I said, that's all right, you know. I'm not moving that concrete. I mean, this thing is tons. But you know what I noticed every single year? What I couldn't move, ice could move. And that water got in there, man, every single year. And little by little, that crack was going, boom, boom. Then it went like this, boom, boom. And that little crack that you sowed 5, 10, 20 years ago, it's going to be a canyon 20 years later. And you look at that little city and say, it's just everybody's doing it, doesn't really matter. It's going to blow up in your face 10, 20 years later. Mark my words, God's truth through his word. That God be true and every man a liar. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In more abundance. Good preaching, Pastor Kalidas. Number five. There is nothing you can do about the crop that you've planted, so quit worrying about it. That's right, I almost said crap, but I say crop. Number five, there is nothing you can do about it, about the crop that you planted, so quit worrying about it. There's nothing I can do of the sins that I created the first 21 years I was lost, and even the last 59 years of my life, there's nothing I can do about the past. It's already planted. Why worry about something you can't stop? Worrying is a lack of faith. Worrying is a sin. It's like anxiety. When you're anxious, that's a sin. God says, be not anxious. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do about yesterday. There's nothing I can do about the last 59 years of my life. Whatever mistakes, whatever misjudgments, whatever sins I committed, it's too late. But some of you are just worrying sick about your past catching up with your present. That's not right. Ask God to forgive you and move on. You're going to destroy yourself worse. Number six, prepare yourself now for the inevitable. Not only will your past mistakes, bad decisions, and sins come back to haunt you, but you will have to face the fact that others will continue to bring up to you your past mistakes, your bad decisions, and your sins. Not only to you, but to everyone else. You will have a tendency to be upset with others for revealing and repeating your past mistakes, your bad decisions, and your sins. Unfortunately, it is a natural human tendency for people to gossip and tell others about your past mistakes and your sins. Just look at Facebook today and Twitter and all the other social media. People are bent on advertising the failures of others because it makes them feel better, and in their eyes, they look better when they compare to you. It is the nature of sinful and wicked men. It is going to happen regardless anyway. Even without malice, your children and grandchildren will bring things up to you that others will laugh about while you cringe on the inside. You better prepare yourself right now. Number 7. As a result, the best way to deal from any fallout is to stay close to Jesus and remain humble and honestly admit your past when it is brought up. The bottom line is that you are the one that gives others the ammunition to shoot you. Had you not supplied the ammunition for others to shoot you with, you would not be going through the heartache of your dredged up past. Therefore, you should be upset at yourself for hurting God and walking away from God and disobeying God when your pride got the best of you and you yielded to the enemy, yielded to your flesh, and yielded to the pressures of the world. Your humility, acknowledging your past, will go a long way to speak to people's hearts about how Jesus Christ has changed you and how you turned your life around by after disobeying God. There's not much you can do for those who are bent on blaspheming God and cursing God and using you as an example of being a fake and a hypocrite in church. Those people are most likely ones that would never trust Jesus Christ anyway, and are only using you as fodder for their hatred and rage against God. If they're going to use the plight of good Christian people who did nothing wrong to laugh and mock at, just think what they will do when it really is your fault, when you receive your just due. The wicked use Job's misfortune in their songs of fools, the Bible says. But honest people who are struggling themselves with their past and their present, as their past is catching up with them, will be willing to listen to you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. They understand the nature and power of temptation and how easy it is for a life to get sidetracked and for a life to be ruined by alcohol and drugs and addictions and other ungodly habits and practices. The best way to distract people now and in the future from your weeds, your thorns, and your tares is to plant good seed now and as often as you possibly can. Only in this way will the future crop of good fruits overshadow the crops of wicked works that you have already planted and that are going to come up. Do not expect to plant crops and then ask God for a crop failure. God's word is true. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's word will come to pass. The best thing for you to do is to prepare yourself for that inevitable time. Prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your soul. Do not run, do not quit, do not hide. You getting right with God and being willing to go through your own embarrassment of your past will teach you more to mature and how to handle life and people better than anything else. Make sure you hold on to the right doctrine, the right church, the right book, which is the King James Bible, right standards, right spirit, the right attitude, the right company, the right associations, and live the right kind of life. If you're breathing and listening to this sermon, then it is not too late for you to repent and ask God for mercy and forgiveness and get right with God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I know there's people in this room thinking, well, he's just preaching at me today. And the truth of the matter is, all of us in this room ought to be convicted right now because all of us have failed you at one point or another, and all of us have sowed works to the flesh, sins, misjudgments, bad decisions, and it's come back to haunt us and will come back to haunt us. There's not a person in this room that is unscathed. There's not a person in this room that this does not apply to because we've all sinned and we sin every single day. Just the people we let pass by us, the people that fall through our fingers, the people that we have not helped, the people that we have not encouraged, the time that we did not take to encourage somebody along the way because we were too selfish, too self-centered. It's going to come back to haunt us. You said in the book of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. It's going to find us out. But our job ought to be to love you and love others. And I pray, dear God, that you forgive those who willingly admit that we've done wrong, that we have sowed a crop of failures and sins and transgressions and iniquities, bad decisions, unwise decisions that have now come back to haunt us and will continue to haunt us. Dear God, help us to be busy about our Father's business. Help us to get involved in a work through the house of God to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Only in that way can a new crop grow to overshadow our past failures and our past life. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray they'll get saved this morning. I pray if there's anybody not been born again, I pray that today they would be born again. They would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior today. And I pray, dear God, if there's anybody saved but they've not been baptized, I pray, dear God, that today they would get baptized in the baptistry. Dear Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please. Christians praying. Christians praying.